Golden Knights having great success so far this year. Does that put any pressure on you guys to succeed in this
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
That's right, man. Wednesday night, depending on where you're at, what part of the country you're tuning in, you are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. I'm your host, Jose V. EMB up in the studio, Quan 5'9", and our guy, Jay Madrazos, hanging out with you guys here on a lovely Wednesday afternoon. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. It's going to be a football-heavy show, man. College football, NFL football, lots to talk about here. Obviously, we got a lot more things going on in the world of sports, but it's going to be a heavy football show today. We got our guy, the Guru Joe, jumping in with us. And, of course, our guy, Lo from Lo Sports Picks, good friend of ours on Twitter, some gambling guys. Talk some gambling Twitter. Talk about some competitions that we have going on with some college football gambling here. But before I get to that, my guy Ian was good. My man, I see you rocking the jersey today. Yes, both of our teams did good last week. But it's good to see you, my man. How are you?
Uncharted territory for you, but for me, it's normal now. So
it is uncharted territory for me. It's becoming a little bit of a norm, but I don't want to get used to it yet. Okay. You know what I mean? Even Quan said they're showing that they're a decent team. You know, they're good, whatever, but
you already have your tattoo or picked up.
Bro, still got three more games. Relax. We got six wins. We still got three more.
You think you're going to lose? You're only going to win two more games for the rest of the season? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, but how about this? If anybody's watching that's a tattoo artist or knows a tattoo artist, if you want to get this and you want to sponsor, maybe you want to help us sponsor the tattoo. If it happens, we'll push your business. We'll push people to go out there and get a tattoo. Let's make it happen. Maybe we'll do it in the studio. Maybe we'll do it somewhere else. Maybe we'll go with Eric, do it at the barbershop. Let us know, man. Let's get done. Maybe the Jets get those three wins and get it, man. But we shall see. But we got a football-heavy show, but we're also going to talk football towards the end real quick. LAFC got that championship this past weekend. Has some ties to the LV Lights here in Las Vegas, but they have nothing to do with them. Steve Cherundolo winning his first MLS World Cup in his second season as head coach at LAFC. So we got our guy, Jay Madrazos. Of course, he's going to talk about that with us here shortly in a little bit. And he's got his gear. I see you rocking the LAFC gear. So, sure. You know, definitely. Look at that. It's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm not a Galaxy fan. I will root for LAFC all day.
What happened?
Oh, he said get the mic close.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We need you to talk with the mic, bro. How many times is Quan going to tell you to grab the mic?
Right, he's right. Let's restart this. But seriously, no.
Rewind.
Shout out to LAFC and then, you know, shout out to Cherundolo, you know, bringing his first title.
There we go.
Wish he could have done it with us, but.
You know what? It don't matter. He did it and that's all that matters. I respect him. I got nothing against him. You know, Lights FC organization, whole other thing. I respect the players, but, you know. Anyways, but we do got to get into our guests here. But before we do so, do what I ask you guys to do every single week. Drop that like, drop that comment, press that share. We'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is you are tuned in today. GorillaCross.com, Gorilla Cross Radio, the Gorilla Cross Radio app. And we are live on all platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Gorilla Cross, and we are on there right now streaming. And, of course, if you missed this show or any part of the show or any part of the previous shows, check us out on our YouTube page, Straight Bet Sports. We put all of our previous shows on there. And the audio, if you're someone that just likes to listen and you don't want to look at our faces, check out the audio on all platforms, Google, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. We are there. And it's all free, man. Free 99 is always good. But we got two guests. One of them will be on video with us, joining us on the East Coast. And, of course, our guy, Lo, as well. He'll be on the phone. You'll be hearing the voice of God, as we like to call it, just the audio, nothing else floating through there. But let's go ahead and get him in. I hope that Joe figured out his camera situation, because I'm a little disappointed, my guy. You said you were going to be at home. You were driving around in the car, man. But what's good, guys? You guys on here? You guys ready to go? You guys ready to rock? Don't hear anybody. That's not a good sign.
I'm ready to rock with it. If we could ever get any service from Joe, you know, that's always a complicated thing.
Hey, you know what? We got our guy, Lo, though. Lo, what's going on, my guy? How are you doing this evening? What's good? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to speak ball with you gentlemen. And I want to go ahead and thank you guys for having me on the show. I know it's been a long time coming, Jose. You've been trying to get me on the show. And I finally got a little bit of time now that high school football for us here in North Carolina, particularly for our team, is over. They're still running playoffs, but our team didn't make playoffs this season. So, yeah, I'm ready to get into some ball.
Hey, before we do so, though, Lo, let everyone know what it is that you do, because obviously this is your first time on the show. Let everyone know what it is that you do on the gambling Twitter side. But not only that, you're heavily into football. You just mentioned it away from Twitter. Let everyone know what it is that you got going on, my brother.
Yeah, so I've been handicapping sports, trying to get guys to trying to provide winners for guys versus the spread or versus money line. So I've been doing that for about 16 years. But outside of that, I also coach high school football. So I'm a defensive coach, a defensive coordinator. I'm also a secondary coach as well. So those are some of the things that I have going on in my neck of the woods. And I love talking ball, especially when it comes to football, because I'm really passionate about it. Played football in high school, played football in JUCO, had an offer to go to LSU to play safety there, but I tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus in my knee in JUCO, and that offer came off the table. So, but anything dealing with ball, football, I'm definitely always about talking it, because I also coach it, so I love it.
I need you to give the story, man, because it's pinned on your Twitter account. If people do not know, go ahead and check him out at Low Sports Picks on Twitter. You have it pinned, my guy. Tell people how you turned a little bit of money into a lot of money. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so
you know what I mean.
Crazy story. Yeah, it's a crazy story. So basically, last year, I took $1,000. And I was just trying to be aggressive with $1,000 and see how far $1,000 could get me. Well, I was real strategic in plays that I selected. I didn't select any spreads. I just simply stuck with money lines. And I ended up taking that $1,000. I started with that $1,000 somewhere, I want to say, like mid-November. And by the first week in February, my bankroll was up to $209,000. So almost a quarter million off of just $1,000. And I just kept rolling the money over. Like I didn't take anything out. I just kept rolling and then doubling it up. Each time that I would win, I would just roll it back over again, keep rolling. I rolled it for 4 months and made over 200K. So that was a fun time for me for sure. And now I just kind of try to teach guys that same way. That, you don't need to have a large amount of money. I took $1,000 and made, 200K in 4 months. You just got to be really strategic and disciplined about it. So, but I mean, that strategy is not for everybody, of course. It takes a lot of, guts to do it. It was a couple of times when I was running that bankroll up, I had to put up 50K, on one play. And, that kind of gets a little scary because, you talk about sweating a game. what I'm saying? With 50K on the line there, it could take it up to, 100K. And then I had a time where I had to lay 75K to keep it going. So that was just part of my rollover system. But, yeah, it got sweaty, but it prevailed. So, but it's, once again, it's not a strategy for everybody, but it does work.
And not only that, it's documented. Like a lot of people on gambling Twitter that I've come to realize, my guy, and you know this since we've been talking and doing the spaces and everything that we do, a lot of people are fakes. A lot of people can come up with a VIP at any time but don't want to show proof of anything. Everything Lo does is proof. He has a website. He's got a YouTube page. He don't hide from anything. Even if he has a losing pick or a losing day, he will tell you about it. So that's what I like about you, my guy, that you don't hide from anything. You're straight up. You're honest. And you give the people what they want. And if somebody wants to follow you and take your pick, they do. If they do and they lose, it is what it is. Nobody put a gun to anybody's head. So I like what you do, my guy, and I love the spaces. If you guys haven't checked it out and you're on Twitter and you've used spaces before, if you're a novice or someone that's a professional or whatever it is and you're trying to get into the gambling scene, please, man, these guys got spaces on lock every single day, every single week. So that's some good stuff. Now, let's jump into some football, bro. Let's jump into some conversational talk. I got the Jets jersey on. You're a defensive coach. You talked about the DBs and all that. I got one of the greatest DBs of all time on my chest right now. And obviously, we saw that this past weekend with the Bills and the Jets. One of the newer DBs in the league right now, the rookie Sauce Gardner. We saw what he's done all season. We saw what he did this past weekend against the Bills. Obviously, wasn't on both receivers all the time, but he shut down Gabe Davis, which is one of the guys that has been hot this year for Buffalo, aside from Stephon Diggs. But anything that you saw, any takeaways from that game that you think maybe Are the Bills still that team? Is it just the Jets got lucky? Or do you feel that the Jets are that team legitimately on defense?
No, I wouldn't say that the Bills got lucky. The Jets are defensively sound, and they're coached by a defensive coach, you know, a coach that came from San Francisco as a defensive coordinator. So you couldn't expect anything less than for once he started getting his pieces in there, that the Jets were going to be good defensively. And to be honest with you, the Jets to me hasn't been bad defensively in the last couple of years. They may have, I think where their woes have came in at is that they've dealt with injuries, but now they got a lot of young talent on that defensive side of the ball, and those guys are buying into the head coach's system, and I absolutely love it. The Jets are a defense that is, you know, has, like I said, they've been solid to me for the last couple of years. And when you look at the Jets, you think of defense. And to me, it's just been that way for quite some time. It seems like the Jets like to hire head coaches that are defensive, old defensive coordinators, and turn them into head coaches. So, their defense hasn't surprised me at all. It's kind of been what I've come to expect from the Jets in the last few years. And Sauce Gardner, I mean, he's absolutely dynamite. I mean, he was a dynamite when he was at Cincinnati, absolute lockdown corner. Teams didn't like throwing to him in college. I want to say his time in college, he didn't have that many touchdowns scored on him, if any at all. I can't really remember too many touchdowns scored on him.
No touchdowns in high school nor college, yeah.
Never.
There you go. There you go. And it seemed, you know, he's carrying that momentum over into the pros. You know, he kind of reminds me of a young Revis. You know, Revis was that same type of corner where he was on an island by himself and he didn't need no help over the top from the safety. He would lock you down and shut your best receiver down. And I think that's what we're seeing here in Sauce Gardner, you know, at a really, really young age. So the Jets did a great job at going to get Sauce Gardner. As soon as they drafted him, I knew that, you know, the Jets were going to be extremely tough in the secondary. Plus, you guys went and got the safety from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which that's my squad, the Buccaneers. But you guys got our safety. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is getting outrageous. You know what I mean? So the Jets are doing what they do, and they play solid, sound defense. And they don't right now, all they need for Wilson to do is pretty much, you know, not make mistakes and keep them in the game. As long as he's able to do that, then, you know, the Jets are going to be solid, and I like where they are this season.
Now, I know people don't like us talking Jets or Eagles, but we're the
I'm
fans.
I'm
going
to talk about the Jets real quick, and especially Sauce. So I had retweeted this. This was by an analyst that came up with the list. But the receivers covered by Sauce in man coverage this year so far is Amari Cooper, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Cortland Sutton, Jerry Judy, Stephon Diggs, and Gabe Davis. Jeez. The total amount of catches versus man coverage when Sauce is covering them, 4 for 28 yards.
Jesus, 4 receptions for 28
yards. All of those receivers combined, 4 catches for 28 yards.
Sauce.
When Sauce is covering them.
Sauce, there's a reason why they call him Sauce. But look, man, I know it's overreactions.
Yeah, he's really him.
No, I agree. He's really him, and it's good to see him, especially, again, I'm a Jets fan. I was a big Revis guy. I still have the jersey, never going to get rid of it. So for me to see the Jets bring in someone like him and for him to produce from day one, call me a homer. I think he's the best corner in the league right now. You know, even though he's a rookie, he's up there top two, you know, if anything,
top
three.
I'd say he's top five right now.
I'm good with that. But he's hot. He's up there, and he's doing his thing now. When it comes to the overreactions with the Bills and all that, I know I give the Bills a hard time and I talk a lot of crap with my buddies and all that, but one thing I've noticed about Josh Allen, when he plays those defenses, and what I mean, a defense that can really get in his face, that can really cover these corners, he's a whole different guy. He's not the same player that we see throwing 300-plus yards, 3-4 touchdowns. He is not that guy.
I think it comes down to where Josh Allen loves throwing and how he loves throwing. So if you, and it kind of goes to your point, when you get pressure and you're able to have corners that are able to stick with Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs, he does have maybe a little bit more trouble getting into them because he likes going over the top. He likes usually with Diggs having one or two steps on his guy. So those tight throws where the DB is able to make the play, his placement, I would say, and that's where Josh Allen's next step of development needs to come, is where his placement in where he throws is, because he has a great arm. He's accurate, but usually that comes when there's like one or two steps from the wide receiver on the DB.
Now, Lo, you also did talk about coaching because you're a coach here and you do things like that. Now, the next move that was made this past weekend, Jeff Saturday getting hired after Frank Wright gets fired. You know what I mean? Which was an interesting hire there. Now, even Irsay came out and said, I'm happy he has no experience whatsoever. How are you happy that a guy has no experience? What you're basically telling me is that I don't expect anything from Jeff for the rest of the season. I just want him to babysit this team.
What that translates is,
I'm
looking for someone that, yeah, like I want someone that's going to watch this and watch it burn for me. Because to be honest, Jeff Saturday, I think this is kind of Irsay saying, like, you're my buddy. I want to give you like a nod, you know, couple extra bucks here. It doesn't hurt you if you're terrible at it. If you're great at it, who knows? Maybe we can go from there. But this is the ultimate tank job by Irsay, and he's trying to dress it up as something else, but that's what it is.
Now, here's the thing. Before I get Lowe's thoughts on it, the one thing that I will say, this has Mike Mayock Raiders written all over it, all over again. And what I mean by that, you're hiring a guy that was in the booth, that was in the studio, that, yes, he played, but he hasn't done anything on the coaching side of it. Hasn't even been an assistant, a film guy, any of that, and you're hiring him. Granted.
If he's serious about the hire, like, if it's a legitimate hire for Irsay, in Irsay's mind, then yes, they're in trouble.
So, look, I look at it this way. I don't think he's going to be a long-term solution. No, I think he's going to be a guy that's coming in to babysit, keep these guys happy until they find the guy. And I think Jeff Saturday will probably be that individual that's going to help Irsay possibly find the new hire, and then he'll be gone. I don't see him being there past this.
This is so they can tank without the players that they have, like Taylor and Leonard, requesting trades immediately. Basically what he's trying to do.
This is how they can tank legitimately. But Lo, what do you think about the hire, my guy? Is this just a for now or is this a forever?
No, this is definitely not forever. So you guys said something there that was really important. You know, I think that they brought Jeff Saturday in my opinion, to be a, you know, he speaks about this all the time. So he says, I may not know how to coach, but I know how to be a leader of men. So what I think that they brought him in to do is kind of be a leader of men to these guys, right? So to be a motivational speaker to them. Something that, like I said, what you guys said, I think that they brought him in to kind of lift the morale of these guys, to not make these guys say, you know what, I want to trade. I don't want to be here anymore. So you bring in a guy like Jeff Saturday, who won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, and it's talk about the good old days, right? And say, you know, this organization, and I remember back in the day, we didn't have anything, and Manning had to deal with a whole bunch of – So what I think they're utilizing Jeff Saturday to do is to keep the faith alive for the players that they have there, to let them know, like, hey, guys, don't go nowhere. Keep the good fight going. You know, we're going to turn things around, and it's going to happen. You got to keep on believing. So I think that he's more so a motivational speaker that's going to be in the building to keep the motivation going, instead of having guys say, you know what, I'm not playing anymore this season. I'm going to talk to my agent. Get me out of here. I'm sitting the rest of the season. And then they just kind of like want to keep the guys playing this season, because they still got a whole nother half of the season to go. You don't want these guys to start saying, we're holding out, we're not going to play, and then you don't have a team that's worth a damn to put on the field. So I think more so than anything, that they're utilizing Jeff Saturday to keep the motivation factor, or to keep the guys to stay on the field. But he's definitely not the long-term solution. I know that he is a high school football coach, but at the same time, you know, it's levels to this stuff, right? So you just can't go from high school, surpass college, coaching in the college level, and then jump to the pros and think like, you know, everything's going to change. I've always had this theory, being a high school football coach, you know, teaching kids at the age levels of 16, 15, up into the age levels of 20 until they get to the pros. So those kids at the high school level and the collegiate level, they still want to learn, right? They're still open to listening to coach, getting better at their craft. Now, once you get to the pros, it's a completely different mindset that they change into. One, they start making money, right? So now they're making a lot of money. They're making millions of dollars. And what can you as a head coach tell me when I make more than you make as the head coach? So at that point, when they get to the pro level, I've always looked at it this way. When they get to the pro level, no longer at that point in time is a coach teaching you anything. They're more so of a game manager. They're more so of somebody that's like a manager at a store or a restaurant. At this point in time, they're just managing employees, if you will. Okay. how these players who they look up to on getting better, they look at other players in the league that's been in the league for a long time, players that have been to Pro Bowls, players that are killing it statistically, and they'll work with them in the off season or and get better. They're not really technically working with the coaches. So when you get to being a head coach or a coaching position in the pro level, to me, I think that you're more so of a game manager and a manager of employees, if you will, of players, more so than you're teaching them something, because I don't think that they're really going to take advice from you when they make more money than you. So, you know, it's a large jump for Saturday to go from, you know, coaching high school level to now coaching at the pros. But I mean, I understand why they're utilizing him to do it, because he's played in Indianapolis, won a championship in Indianapolis, and in the city of Indianapolis loves him, right? So they treat him like a king from all of the time that he endured with them. But going from being a player to being a coach at that level, like instantaneously, especially when we just saw you last weekend on ESPN giving out, you know, analyst statistics, and now you're a head coach, is a little bit fast.
Once again, you're tuning to Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", Jay Madrazo's up in the studio. We got our guy Low Sports on the phone line here today. We got our guy Guru Joe finally decided to jump on the camera, jump on the video, and chop it up with us, my guy. I'm a little disappointed, man. I was expecting you to give us a little more when it comes to the featurette there. But it's all good, my guy. We're talking some football. You're here. What's good? How are you?
Listen, I apologize for that, my guy. I was expecting to be at the crib in the full Cowboys jersey. I get a call about 20 minutes before the start of the show. Hey, can you pick up some paperwork for a candidate? And I'm like, are you serious? Like, I have things to do. This is my first day off in a month, and we're really going to go ahead and do this. But, you know, being a soldier is a 24/7 job, whether I'm on the clock or off the clock. There is no off the clock. So, you know, I'm just happy to be here. It's always a pleasure. I know Ian and I'm sure we'll go back and forth on our Cowboys Eagles later. But on the topic of Jeff Saturday, man, this one really bothers me, and it shouldn't. But clearly, this is clearly Jeff Saturday riding the coattails of Peyton Manning. In my opinion, the only reason Saturday is even relevant is because of Manning. And on top of that, it disrupts the whole structure of coaching. You look at some of the greatest coaches of all time, and I'm going to use Andy Reid as an example. He was somebody for years who was just a coordinator. He was working his way up the ranks, and he only got his break because he became an interim coach. Now, granted, the circumstances were a little bit different. His head coach was not canned because of a losing record. He unfortunately caught cancer. But nonetheless, there are coordinators, there are teams that are trying to go ahead and coaches trying to make a name for themselves, that this would be the prime position for them to do so, is to come in with nothing left to lose, but to make a name for yourself and do an on-the-job interview. And they've been denied that choice because you want to choose the popular pick, or you want to choose the guy that everybody loves. And I'll be honest, Frank Reich being canned, they're foolish. Is it his fault that you've given your quarterback no offensive line? This guy is the quarterback guru of the NFL.
And
you're telling
five.
Me that he can't take an older Matt Ryan and make something work? Here's why it doesn't work. Because as soon as he sat down, said, hut, as soon as he snaps that ball, there's somebody in his face, if not multiple somebodies. So is that really his fault? So whoever is going to get Frank Reich, congratulations, because you just won the lottery as far as coaching goes. And for Jeff Saturday, I'm sorry. You know what? You're making millions of dollars at ESPN, probably more than you're making as a coach. You should be ashamed that you just took that opportunity from somebody who has been there for 10, 15, 20, maybe even 30 plus years, working their way up the rank to go ahead and get this opportunity. And you just robbed them of that because you wanted to do a favor, or you wanted to do what you thought was best. It's not best for football. It's not best for business.
I see Ian taking deep breaths and moving around.
Well, no, because I have a completely different take on this. And it's if Irsay truly is just putting someone in place to fail, right? And he's trying to cause the least amount of collateral damage by doing so, wouldn't it make sense to put Jeff Saturday in there, or someone that really it doesn't hurt them at all if they fail? I mean, you take someone like Reggie Wayne, Gus Bradley, people that are already on your staff that have coaching experience, right? And you put them in that spot and they fail, everyone wants them out because they already had the experience and stuff like that. It's a bad, like, if you look at it, it's not a good roster. It's not healthy. So there's multiple reasons, not just the coaching, why they're failing. So if you are trying to get a actual quarterback, right? Like if you're trying to tank to get CJ Stroud, whoever they're
Bryce Young, yeah, whoever
they're
out,
actually
yeah.
looking, Bryce Young, Will Levis, whoever you, Hendon Hooker, whoever you like, right? Then maybe this is the best thing in terms of long term, because then they tank. Jeff Saturday's gone. This was only a part-time gig. He knows the deal. Irsay put him in place, and now he can actually hire someone with actual experience, and maybe he does hire Reggie Wayne, Gus Bradley, some of these other guys that have experience or goes outside of the organization.
So, look, man, to get away from this conversation, I'll be honest with you. I'll stick to this, and I'll say what I feel. I think Jeff Saturday is going to be a babysitter. I don't think he'll be there past that, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think that the fire of Frank Wright was good. I think you should have kept the guy. I'm never a fan of firing someone midseason. I am not. If you hired the guy and you know he's there, ride it out. Firing someone midseason rarely ever works. I know the Pittsburgh Penguins did it twice, and both times they've won the Stanley Cup Finals. And there's been other teams that have fired people midway. The Phillies fired their coach, got to the World Series, didn't win, but they got there. They were hot. Sometimes it works, but how many times does it? Not always.
Isn't Reich over 500? So you're firing over 500 head coach with five different starting quarterbacks
and not
in
only
his
this,
5 years there.
Correct.
Yeah.
And not only this, you've had two guys that were starters in the past that came here that were supposed to be the next guy. Three, excuse me. Phillip. Matt,
all of
and
them
now,
were washed.
Carson.
Like all
know,
of them were like approaching
those guys
their 40s or on their
work.
Last chance. Like Carson Wentz was on his last chance. You have Matt Ryan, who's approaching 40. You have Phillips that was 40 and already contemplating retirement. So like,
dude, Phillip Rivers looked way better than all three of those.
He made that work. But what I'm saying is that Reich was able to do enough, in my opinion, with what he had as quarterback. To definitely at least get him another head coaching job. At the very least, he's a prime candidate for everyone's OC job.
So look, call me crazy. I think Lovey gets fired at the end of the season and Frank Reich probably gets that job. Call me crazy because Houston hasn't had someone that can develop a quarterback in a while, and that's what I've been looking at. I've had that sentiment since Frank Reich got fired. I started looking around and seeing what organization can hire this guy if possible. I think Frank Wright could end up being the next coach of the Houston Texans. Call me crazy.
Well, so do you think the Texans are overachieving or underachieving? Because if you're saying the head coach is going to get fired, then are you saying that he's the reason why they're underachieving or are they overachieving? Because a lot of people are saying that with their current roster, the Texans are actually overachieving. Yeah, they're 1-6-1, but they've been pretty competitive in almost every one of their games.
The reason I say that is the front office and the ownership.
Well, that's not going to change with a head coach, though.
No, I know that. But listen to this. The only reason I'm not saying that Lovey deserves to be fired. Let me get that clear. I don't think Lovey deserves to be fired. But that organization,
that they'll scapegoat,
that team, that front office, that ownership, why did they really hire Lovey? Let's be honest. Think about that, right? Think about that. They're not going to be happy. They like to recycle as much as they can.
Yeah.
I think Lovey was a hire for another situation. So I would not be surprised if the organization moves forward, fires him, and brings in another guy. That's all I'm saying. But let's move on from this topic. Right. We've already kind of stuck to it a little bit too long. But the one thing I did want to talk about with all three of you guys, are the Seattle Seahawks legit? Are they contenders? Can Geno Smith, first of all, continue his start? Not only that, can Pete Carroll continue to coach his butt off the way he has? A lot of people, myself included, wrote off Pete Carroll before the end of the season last year, said, Russell will be gone. Pete will be gone. Russell's gone. Pete isn't. But look what he's done, bro. He has brought back that defense. I'm not saying they're the Legion of Boom because that's never going to happen again. But he's brought back that defense to believe that they can play a certain way. Look what Geno Smith is doing after being a 7-year backup. He's leading the league in completion percentage. That is insane
for
a guy like Geno Smith.
Throws though, I would put that more on Geno than
I'm not saying Pete's the guy that's making that happen, but Geno, bro, Geno has finally figured out. I don't have to do too much.
But this is the first time since he was with your organization that he's actually had a shot to legitimately start
training camp, do everything,
do training camp and everything. And I mean, he would, people forget, like, what wasn't he a top, wasn't he a somewhat high ish draft pick?
Top 10 draft pick.
He's a top 10 draft pick. So, like, he had talent.
Actually, no, I lied. The Jets drafted him late in the first round. He wasn't a top 10 because they drafted someone before.
But
he's
a first rounder.
He was the last guy from the Jets in that first round draft. Now, what do you think, Joe? Are the Seahawks a legitimate contender, or is this just fool's gold midway through the season?
I mean, that's such a dicey subject, right? You know, we're at the midseason point, so it's always fun to say, are they pretenders or are they contenders? I think, for one, is it time to start asking the question, was Russell Wilson the problem in Seattle? I think that's a very fair question, is number one. Number two, can Geno Smith stay as consistent as he has been? I'd have to see it to believe it. He really hasn't faced anybody that's made me go like, wow. You know, I mean, he beat the Giants. Cool. They're cool. Okay. They're not great. That's, as an NFC East, you know, advocate, as a Cowboys fan, I follow the NFC East probably the most closely out of all the divisions. And, you know, there's only like maybe five elite defenses this year across the entire league. And I haven't seen Seattle face any of them yet. If Seattle were to face a Cowboys defense or a Buffalo Bills defense or a Philly defense and really show me something, then I might be able to say, like, you know what? These guys are legit. Granted, what Geno Smith is doing after 7 years as a backup, absolutely impressive. It goes to show, to me at least, that maybe this guy should have been a starter somewhere 7 years ago and not necessarily riding the bench. But I'm going to say, as of right now, they are legit, but that could change very soon.
Were the Chargers healthy when they played 3 weeks ago? Because
they were not healthy, to my knowledge. I believe
they did beat the brakes off of them. They had 37-23 off the Chargers.
Ian, I want to get your thoughts, but I also want to get Lowe, because I know Lowe's in the background quietly, patiently listening. Lowe, in your opinion, from what you've seen, my guy, on the gambling side, obviously, because there's a lot to do with gambling and sports now. It's all combined no matter what. We can't get away from that. But just in general, are the Seahawks, in your eyes, as a football team, a legitimate contender in that division and in the NFC? And not only that, when it comes to betting, do you look at this team whatsoever?
I would say that they're definitely a contender, right? So to me, that division is kind of almost a little bit wide open. They've already beaten the Cardinals twice this season, so they've completed a shutout versus the Cardinals. They did lose their first matchup to San Francisco, so they are going to see San Francisco another time. And then, you know, we're looking at who else in that division? There's one more team I'm forgetting.
Seahawks, Cardinals, Niners,
Rams. It's one more, right?
Hams. The Hams.
Is it the Rams?
Yeah.
The Jets. Right. Well. No, I mean, like,
no, he's talking about the division.
I thought you meant
we got
like,
the Niners. No, okay. We got the Rams.
Sorry,
I was looking at their schedules
and seeing what actual legitimate, because I was listening to what you were saying about the defense, like facing a legitimate defense, and I was looking at what teams had the most like actual legit defenses.
But yeah, you were saying low.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, my guy. Finish up.
Yeah. So, you know, you also got the Rams in there that are, you know, coming off of a, you know, Super Bowl lag. So, and they're dealing with injuries and they're dealing with personnel, you know, not having the proper personnel or the same personnel from last season return to their team that they had for the Super Bowl. So, you know, you're looking at a division right now that is kind of still wide open. So right now the Seahawks look great because, in my opinion, they're taking advantage of a division that is underachieving. And I think that they're doing a great job at doing it, because if San Francisco would be healthy where they should be at, right? The Rams would have kept a large majority of their players from their Super Bowl run last season, and if the Cardinals could ever get Kyler Murray to, you know, stop making bonehead throws and making bonehead decisions, then we'd probably be looking at the Seahawks team kind of not so great. But once again, that takes nothing away from the Seahawks. I think that they're relishing in and taking advantage of opportunities right now early in the season, and they're doing great. Geno Smith is revived, and he's looking great, and he's living in the moment. So as it stands of today, to me, they are definitely a contender until the rest of the teams in their division stops being pretenders. So that's how I see it. So right now, as it stands, the Seahawks are taking advantage of opportunities, and they're doing great at it.
Once again, Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", J Madrazos up in the studio hanging out. Straight Bet Sports here live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. Again, download the Gorilla Cross app. Go to GorillaCross.com. Do it today if you haven't already done so. There's a lot more content on there aside from our show. You will definitely enjoy. We got our guy Low Sports on the phone and our guy the Guru Joe joining us from the East Coast as well. Both of them chiming in, giving us some good stuff. Now, that doesn't make them – all right, see, we got a little comment here. It doesn't make them a contenders. They were both worse – good team in football. Okay. So let's see. That doesn't make them contenders. They're the worst good team in football by far. Okay. Got some comments on there going on. Come on, guys. Maybe they're not the top favorite team in the NFL, but the Seahawks have shown good football this season. That's coming from our guy, Eddie Martinez, Primo Eddie, on the tube here on Facebook. Quan, as always, I love the fact that Quan's in the studio watching, doing, producing the show, and he's always commenting, giving his comments. Quan's the one that said that doesn't make them contenders. They're the worst good team in football by far. But, hey, we all have our opinions and everything that we have to say. Obviously, here's the thing. I like what I see from Geno. I'll be 100% honest with you. I'm happy for him. Obviously, the Jets drafted him, brought him into the league and gave him that opportunity. He was just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. That's all it was. New York was not for him. It's working now. I hope it continues to work. Seahawks are 6-3. Whether you like them or not, they're legit. They're 6-3 for some reason.
They're making the playoffs for sure. I mean, if you look at the rest of the schedule, they face the 49ers. They play.
Slow down, bro. We got half the season left.
That's why I don't know, man. Like, if you look at their schedule, if they stay healthy, they should beat all these teams except maybe the Jets and maybe the 49ers. Because the 49ers, the first time they played them, actually beat the crap out of them. So it's 27-7.
Fellas, before we move on with some more NFL talking, obviously, I told you guys before the show, we do NFL picks of the week here. I'm not trying to brag, but I'm above 500. I'm 5-4 so far this year. Ian's at 3-6, as were last year when he first joined the show. He came in on fire. I believe you were 6-0 to start the season when you jumped into the show.
I think
something
I
like
ended
that.
It around like, I want to say it's so like 11-7 or something like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Real quick, I have to ask something because he said their schedule's easy.
Okay, Quan, I love
and they
I
should,
Quan.
And they the rest win, of their they schedule. Win. Yeah, it's not. The Bucks.
Okay, tough.
The Raiders could be easy, could be tough. Right? Yeah. Who knows? At the Rams, that's not going to be easy.
Never.
Versus the Panthers, that could be easy. 49ers, Chiefs, Jets, and Rams to end the season. They could lose all four of those games to end the season. They could easily not make the playoffs.
You heard
the
Jets,
Bucks
right?
are not what they used to be.
I understand that.
The Raiders are, I mean, that's being very generous for the Raiders.
You know that Tom Brady is 2-0 since his divorce got announced, right?
Oh,
just throw that out there.
Maybe the magic is back.
Look at Joe's face. He's like,
who knows? Maybe the magic's back. Who knows? But I mean, I'm just saying, okay, maybe they split, maybe the Bucks win that game, but the Raiders,
I see three games they could win. I see all the
Rams. Rams have been playing atrocious football. Like,
so you
just all around.
So you think Seahawks finish with 9 wins, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
9. So that doesn't make the playoffs for you?
No.
Not in that division when you're 4-4?
Fortnite's going to win that division.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I'm sorry.
See,
call me.
That's where that take just came from was the fact that Quan is a 49ers fan.
But no.
And he's trying to say that.
Look at Fortnite's schedule.
Look at the Niners schedule.
Tell me who they're going
to
lose to.
And I agree. I don't have it in front of me, but I did look at it the other day. Look at the Niners schedule.
They do have a favorable schedule. I will give them
that. Check this out. Look at the Niners schedule.
And a way better team. It's not just a favorable schedule.
Look at what they're doing.
They have a way better team. They had a bye. All their players are coming back next week. They have not had most of their whole starting defense. And they're about to kill it.
Here's the thing. I'm not a Niner fan, obviously, but I agree with Quan. I can't disagree with that. I think the fact that they brought in Christian McCaffrey, the way they're playing now, they're getting healthy.
Chargers, Cardinals, it's Saints, Dolphins, Bucks, Seahawks, Commanders, Raiders.
You guys,
I don't know if they lose a game the rest of the year.
Oh,
guys,
my.
Let's move on.
Who they lose to?
Wow. Who
they lose to?
Hold on. I'll say this.
You could lose to the Chargers. I don't think you will, but you could. You might split with the Cardinals or Chargers and Cardinals. The Saints are sporadic, so you never know what's going to happen that game.
We own the Saints.
Okay, Dolphins are going. Good. Dolphins are going to probably beat you.
San Francisco, funny.
You just tried talking about Tom Brady, right?
Slow, stop. First of all, and we're going to move on from this so we can continue to talk other stuff. First of all, stop it. I said it last week. Some people on ESPN radio here locally in Las Vegas said that the Miami Dolphins were the third best team in the NFC and the AFC when they were only the third best team record-wise in their division. The Jets beat, I'm not going to say the best because Ian's an Eagle fan. So the Jets beat possibly the second top two best team in the league last week. And we're still second in our division.
They are top
so don't
three.
Say the Dolphins are the third best team in the AFC when they're not even the third best team barely in their division, okay? Let's put it to you that way. And not only that, the Bears almost beat them and they hung in there and covered that 5-point spread. And yes, Justin Fields is finally showing up and doing what he has to do. So what I'm going to say about the Dolphins are beatable, and we saw that this past weekend. So honestly, when the Niners face the Dolphins, don't be surprised if the Niners just steamroll the Dolphins. Even though that coach is coming back, he knows that team, the weakest part on the 49ers?
Probably their secondary,
I will say
right?
this over and over and over and over again. The Miami Dolphins are not legit. They are fool's gold. They are smoke and mirrors. They are not even the third best team in the AFC. The second best team in the AFC right now, call me crazy, is the Baltimore Ravens. You still have the Buffalo Bills. You still have the Baltimore Ravens. Call me crazy. New York Jets, baby. Number three, if you want to call it that. We are playing better.
You forgot the Chiefs.
Okay, put the Chiefs in there. Three, we'll go four. I'll call it. I'm okay with Quan. I'll go with that. But what I'm saying
just
is,
just for reference, Tyreek Hill has 1,100 yards, and Waddle has 800.
You know what?
Bro.
You sound like just like Sosa says it all the time. Statistical nerds all over Twitter and social media.
Hey, that's
it
my bread and butter,
nothing.
Bro.
You can call. he can have 10,000 receiving yards. The Dolphins are still going to do nothing this year, at all. If they make the playoffs, good for them, but they're not going to do a damn thing, not even with two.
I mean,
but we got to move on.
In the game right now has the best passer in all football,
but it's okay. They're still the third best team in our division.
You quoted Sosa. Sosa is extremely high on the Dolphins.
They're still the third best team in our division. They're not even the third best team in the AFC.
But on that note, they have not lost the game where Tua Tagovailoa has started and finished the entire game.
It's okay.
You cannot cannot take that away from them.
I'm not gonna
take
it away.
Found a way to win games.
Not gonna
and
take
guess
it.
What?
Almost died the other two games.
They don't have Justin Fields. I mean, and we had lengthy discussions about that. But the kid is a winner.
Hey guys,
and
but look.
So many people were saying he wasn't. The kid is a winner. He hasn't lost a game where he started and finished the game. So you know what? Who knows?
Two games.
People said the same thing about Jimmy G, that this guy would never start a game. And now here he is starting and winning games. So you never know in NFL, man.
That's what I love about the NFL. It's always a coin flip. You never know what's going to happen. A team could be hot first half and then just disappear the second half. Remember this, and I'm a Jets fan for all my Jets fans out there. And with the reason I say this, that first half means nothing. Remember when we traded for Brett Favre? We were 6-2 halfway through the season. You know how we finished? 2-6. So don't ever get excited about the first half of the season because it doesn't mean nothing until the final week of the season. But fellas, both of you, Lo and Joe, you guys announced yesterday we have a little college football head-to-head competition. It is legit. So anyone that's listening right now, if you're a college football fan, you want to join this, DM me, DM Joe, DM Lo on Twitter. It's still going from what I believe. We haven't got all the contestants in just yet. I am part of it. I'm pretty sure I'll find a way to get Ian to jump on this as well. It's only $25. Winner take all. Fun stuff. Joe, Lo, I'll let you guys go ahead and plug this away, my guy, because this is going to be a good, fun competition to end the college football season here moving forward. Go ahead and plug that away real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys don't know, Lo and I, we run a show over on Twitter. We call it the CFB Line Blitz. We really put it together right before the college football season. And I was like, hey, we're both good at this. Let's take our handicapping expertise and let's provide it to the people and give them an outlet to make some money for free just by listening and tuning in. I mean, we've gotten so many comments, so many DMs, where people are like, hey, thanks for the winner. You know, here's my slip. Thanks to CFB Line Blitz. And it's been amazing. And one of the feature points of our show, we like to call it best bets, right? So it's three best bets and your dog of the day has to be an underdog that's going to win outright, not on the spread, but only outright. So upon reviewing with 2 weeks left of the season before, you know, there's conference championships and then there's the Army-Navy game, which I will be at, you know, for that, we decided, why don't we open it up to the people? Anybody, it's open to all people, whether candy capper, casual better, whomever. It's $25 a head. You just have to be present on the CFB Line Blitz shows on Fridays, where we do our best bets and breakdowns for the non-top 25 games. To give out your best bets to be entered, it's $25 a head. We host the show Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of trash talk, all with love and respect, of course. But, you know, I want to get as many people. And you know what? Somebody may come in that thought they weren't good at handicapping and win the whole thing and make a name from themselves. You know, the beauty of gambling Twitter is really that you can go ahead and put yourself in some great context with some great people and make a name for yourself. That's how I started. That's how I met Jose. That's how I met Lo. And then I met Ian through Jose and this awesome show. So, I mean, you can really network and grow your brand through small things like this. So if you're interested, like Jose said, DM one of us. Be more than happy to have you. And we're looking forward to it.
Lo, anything you want to add, my guy?
Yeah, so just like what Joe was saying, you know, we're doing this, you know, for a little bit of bragging rights and just for, you know, put some extra dollars in your pocket. Some of the rules, though, that we definitely want you guys to know is, like Joe said, you do have to be present on Friday's show to I'm sorry, I heard a noise. I didn't know if that was on my end.
Oh, you good.
I was like, what happened? Did I lose? But, you got to be present on the show on Friday to be able to give your plays out. We're not going to accept, like, you DMing your plays into us. And the reason we want to do that is to kind of, like, keep the transparency there so that, you know, the audience, the crowd can basically say that, you know, they heard your play loud and clear. So, once again, it's three best bets. It's one dog play. Your best bet it can either be the spread or it can be a money line. If it's a money line, it can't be higher than a -150. So you can't give us a money line of, you know, -200, money line -250. That's not going to work. So you could either take the spread or you could take a money line no higher than -150. Or if you have a player prop, you can utilize a player prop as well if you want to do it that way. So just trying to have a little bit of fun with it with these last few weeks in college football remaining.
There we go, man. If you guys heard that and you're trying to make some money and you want to have some fun with the rest of the college football season, hit me up. Hit up our guy, Guru Joe. Hit up our guy, Low Sports. If not, we will get you guys on there, man. Trust me. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to get you on, Ian. I know you don't do much college football, bro, but it's $25. I know you can pretty much jump in on it. I don't think the wife will get mad at you. That's some lunch money, man. You should be all right. But look, guys, we're going to get into our best bets of the week here pretty soon. I told you guys to be ready, so make sure you guys have your best bets of the week. It could be a college football play. It could be an NFL play, or if you want, because a lot of our guests have done that. They've given us both. They've given us a college play and an NFL play. But before we do so, I got to give my guy, Jay Madrazos, up in the studio a little bit of mic time here because we still got enough time to do that with him. But this past weekend, we're going to talk soccer for the next couple minutes just real quick. LAFC. LAFC came out and won that game. I saw this game from finish to end, and the best part of this game was the second half, bro. The second half, the extra time. I'm sitting there, 3-2. The goalie gets a red card. Goalie gets changed, right? That normally doesn't happen. The goalkeeper's out.
Which they reviewed, right? Remember?
And then Gareth Bale comes in. I see Gareth Bale coming in, and I'm going, as a fan of the sport, I'm just like, wow. I'm used to seeing this guy in the Spanish League, in the Champions League, Real Madrid, all that stuff, right?
Final after final.
The guy's technically won a final, and every year he's played for a club and won a chip, except for when he returned on loan to Tottenham. That was the only time he didn't win anything.
He was just...
But look, bro, this was a great match. This was a great game, a great thing that you want to bring to the city of LA, right? Whether it's an MLS championship, NFL championship, whatever it is, a chip is a chip. And LA is becoming, and it's known once again as the city of champions, right? And it's good that we have a guy that was locally here for 1 year with the LV Lights, which we don't want to talk about the lights, but Steve Cherundolo. Steve Cherundolo, second year coach with LAFC, comes through, pulls together. I'm sitting there watching 3-2, and I'm like, if he loses this, it's like, damn, is this really what I came here for? I got Gareth Bale, and I can't even figure this out and try to win this second half. But, bro, you saw that game. You're the soccer guy. You're on it from day one, watching this team, watching this league. You got the jersey. It's your team. What did you see from this team in this game? And what are your takeaways with the legacy of Gareth Bale moving forward?
Now, first off, shout out to Philadelphia. They played a great game. It was one Union. They tied it 1-1.
That one still hurts, man. That one still hurts.
Then they took the lead.
Oh, my God. We lost
two
fan.
Championships on the, oh, we're the on only, the same day. We're right? the only city in
the Phillies
in
and
the
Union.
Sports history to ever lose two championships on one day.
On the same day.
At least you don't have to worry about the Eagles being in the championship.
Oh! This guy.
Okay. I mean, you might not make the playoffs, but...
Joe in the background, because he's a Cowboy fan. He's like, tell him, Quan.
Or the 76ers.
Oh, Joe right. trying to get some jokes.
Hey, you know,
all right. I'll remember that next week. I'm coming with it. I want all the smoke. I'm coming.
All right, let's do it.
But Joel, real talk, my guy, let us know. What do you think about Gareth Bale's legacy? Does this just catapult him into a different conversation, or is it just MLS?
No, definitely. I feel like he still has, at this point, go back to Europe, go compete in the Champions League. He's still very young compared to, like, not that many years, but with Ronaldo, he still has great, great, great talent. He didn't even play that many games. Yeah. And prior to that sub, he even took out Carlos Vela, which tripped me out. I'm like, you're taking out their best
move.
Their best player. And then Bale came in just like he always did in the decisive moments, and he scored to get him into the penalty, which was the penalty shootout. I was like, this is it. I mean, Philadelphia has to come back, but the goal. Crazy how the two goalkeepers made a difference as well.
Big shout out to Primo Eddie. He says, LAFC, baby. Oh, you're not a Galaxy fan anymore, Primo? What happened? I thought you were a Galaxy fan all these years. All of a sudden, you bandwagon jumping? Nah, I'm just messing with you, bro. But look, real talk. Do you see this team repeating next year? And not only that, what do you expect from Gareth next year?
Yo, no, I definitely see the MLS competing, especially with all, like, the Liga MX and the competition to win the Champions League for North America. So definitely, and I'm excited to see Gareth Bale complete season with LAFC, because he didn't play that much this season. So yeah, I think a couple more years, and or if he just one more year, we'll see him back in top flight in Europe.
So look, man, I'm gonna tell you one thing, and you better be ready for next week. Big shout out to our guy Brian Aleman of the American Outlaws, the big supporter group of USA men's soccer. We're gonna have a big soccer show next week. We're going to talk World Cup. We're going to break down the World Cup coming up. I know Ian's not too excited about that because he's not that big of a soccer fan. But it's all good, Ian. You can
I
smile.
Love soccer,
you'll
man.
Be all right. Philadelphia, you'll be next year. But look, Jay.
I'll just put this out there. I like soccer, guys. I'm just not as knowledgeable on soccer as I am
Nothing
other sports.
Nothing wrong with
so that's why I start getting a little bit more quiet when it comes
Ian
to
credit.
Soccer talk.
Ian is the film guy. If I didn't watch a game, Ian, did you see this game? Yup, I watched film. He tells me everything, and I love it. Ian is the film guy. He is literally the head coach, watching all that, getting everything ready. He is the Eric Spoelstra. But it is what it is. But Jay, appreciate you, my guy. Be ready for next week, because next week, we're going to break it down.
And
we're going
to
break it down.
We
already know Argentina's going to win it all, but it don't matter. But anyways, man, you are tuning to Straight
Men
Sports.
Too,
so live here on the Cine Brazil. Look at Red Cross Radio Network.
If I had a team, it would probably be Argentina.
Okay.
Just because my best friend's from Argentina, so it's the only time I've actually watched the World Cup. So.
All right, guys.
Hey, strong contender.
We're going to move into our picks of the week. So, Lo, Joe, I hope you guys are ready, because I need to hear the pick of the week for you guys. But I know you guys are going to break it down. You're not just going to say, I like the Cowboys and that's it. No, you're going to tell us why you like the picks. And that's why I'm glad that I have you guys on here now. Last week, I had... let me go backwards. Last week, Ian had the Dolphins at -5. And I said, no way, I'm going against you. That's, I took the Bears at +5. Bears lost by 3. That was a great game all the way down to the wire. High scoring game. If you bet the total, you got the total in your sleep. You could have took a nap. No problem there.
I should
have
tailed
with the
refs.
Bears winning or covering that game, excuse me, that puts me at 5-4 on the season with our picks of the week. So I'm above 500. That puts Ian at 3-6. Jalen Graves, our guest last week, former UNLV Rebel and new Vegas Nighthawk football player here for the IFL. He had the Eagles winning outright. We did no point spreads or anything like that. Eagles did cover, so I know Jalen is good with that, and I know Ian is happy. But I don't have my pick yet because I'm still looking at it. I got about 3 or 4 that I'm looking at. But I'm going to let our guests go first, Ian. Joe, I will let you go first, my guy. Who do you have this week and why?
So I'm going to keep it simple. No homerness involved. But give me Dallas Cowboys on the spread. Let's be 100% real and let's talk let's talk Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers here before I even get into my Cowboys, because I can go all day with them. But let's talk facts with the Packers. They are, in my opinion, and pretty much statistically too, the worst offense in the NFL, right? They lost Devontae Adams over the offseason, which took almost 50% of the target share away from Aaron Rodgers. And it is clearly showing. Isn't it funny how these elite receivers actually make quarterbacks better? You look at Tua Tagovailoa, gets Tyreek Hill, he's having a career year. You look at Geno Smith, he's got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he's having a career year. You look at Patrick Mahomes with Travis Kelce, MVS. They just got Kadarius Toney. Elite receivers that are making a difference in that offense. People love to point it at the quarterback, but if there's anything I've learned over my time handicapping NFL is that wide receiver plays, if not almost more than of an importance when it comes to that game. So with a team that is struggling to find its identity, find reliable pass catchers against a really stout Dallas defense, and I'll be 100% honest, with no Bakhtiari, please let me know who is going to stop. Calling it right now, who is stopping Defensive Player of the Year, Micah Parsons? That guy has the highest success rate versus single pass rush opportunities. Even against double teams, he is entering uncharted territory that the only people that would have entered it prior would be Aaron Donald or Lawrence Taylor. So I'm going to tell you right now, if your FanDuel DraftKings offers it, take Micah Parsons for a sack. If you can ladder it up to 2, 3, 4. He's going to be in that backfield quicker than Downset Hutt. He's just going to be there. He's going to be a consistent problem. And I'll be honest, Dak has been out for most of the season, right? So he's got to prove it. And the biggest thorn in our side every year, time in, time out, has been the Green Bay Packers. Ever since Dez caught it, but apparently didn't. Because we don't know the definition of a catch. Yeah. Still caught it, by the way. I'll stand by that. Anywho. Ever since then, we have yet to beat the Green Bay Packers. It's time to get our revenge. It's also Mike McCarthy homecoming. You don't think he wants to get up and against his former team and be like, guess what? I left you and we're better. Because hot take, Cowboys are the best team in the NFC. I know Ian's not going to like that, but what? Guess what?
Film
if we don't
even
have a quarterback who gives you 3 interceptions in your own side of the field, you guys don't win that game. We came storming back in.
Two of those interceptions were hustled for and caught. Like, I mean, it wasn't luck picks. Like, 2 of those picks weren't thrown directly. Yeah. They were hustled for. So
it's okay.
You make your own picks. I mean,
We're running against the clock, Ian. The Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. That was my pick. Remember, that was my pick before the season started.
It's all good. But, Joe, we appreciate your pick. We're running against the clock, though. I don't want to be rude. But, Lo, what do you got, my guy? Who do you like and why?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans minus 2 points here versus the Broncos. I'm not feeling the Broncos this season. To me, their offense is still a struggle piece. They're going to struggle to put points up on the board. And I think with Tennessee coming off of that loss to Kansas City, you know, when they fought them pretty well, pretty tough. I think with this being, which I think that Tannehill's probably going to come back for this game right here, being that they're back at home. So Tannehill back under taking snaps and things of that nature. Derrick Henry has just been an absolute monster. It seems to be that nobody can stop him. He's on pace to, you know, go for another 1,000-yard rushing season. And I just think that this is a good spot for Tennessee, bounce back, get themselves back in the win column versus the Denver Broncos team. And I just think it's not their season. They're falling apart. They traded away Chubb on the defensive side of the ball, which was their best defensive player outside of Sutton, of course, at the cornerback position. But I like Tennessee to bounce back in this spot. Minus 2 points, I think that they can definitely get the cover in this spot.
I was actually looking at that game. I'm not going to lie, but before you even said anything, I already flipped it over to something else. But I think Tennessee minus the 2 is a very good spot. I'm going to give you the minus the 2, my guy, because we go off of the page that I look at here. And then Guru Joe has the Cowboys. We're going to give you the minus 5 because that's what we're also looking at here. But, Ian, what do you got real quick so we can finish up?
I'm probably taking the Saints at minus 1.5 against the Steelers. I don't like either teams, but I think the Saints have a better roster overall.
And you're not happy that what everything that Joe said. It's okay. You and Joe can have a conversation.
I'm not happy about the Saints winning because we have their draft pick, but I think they win here. You can say what you want, but real quick, the Eagles have a plus 17 turnover differential, and you can say, oh, that is against easy teams. Teams that have gone A&O since 69, they have the 12th hardest schedule ranked from those teams that have gone A&O. So you can say what you want. Dolphins 72 had the 29th hardest schedule, so easy schedule. But they're plus 17, and I think the next closest team in the NFL, not just the NFC, in the NFL is like plus 6. So there's a mass difference in turnover differential, and everyone knows that is the leading statistical category on whether or not you win or lose games.
All right. Ian is taking the Saints at minus 1.5. So I'm going to go with a game that on the world side opened up at minus 9, has been trickling down like crazy. Last night, it was at minus 5.5, and I got a phone call. A very credible phone call. No source, no nothing like that. I'm not going to give any information. But I got a very credible phone call, and I was told Josh Allen will be ruled out against the Minnesota Vikings. Bet your life savings on it. The line moves to minus 3 overnight, gets shut off and put off the board, jumps back up to minus 3.5. Give me the Minnesota Vikings at plus 3.5 on the road. Josh Allen will not play this game. Even if he does, I think the Vikings go in there. Call me crazy. They cover the spread. They might even win outright, like I said last week with the Bears. I know it's crazy, but the Vikings are looking really good right now. Justin Jefferson, 867 yards. I think he hits 1,000 with this game. I think he goes over 140 receiving yards. Call me crazy. That's my pick of the week. Hopefully we can get to 10-4. I'm sorry, 6-4 on the season. But hey, fellas, before we get going, let everyone know where they can find you guys on all things social media so we can finish up here tonight. I'll let
Loco, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Appreciate it, Joe. Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Low Sports Picks. Like everybody's been saying, you know, we hold spaces on Tuesday. I'm tripping. Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays, CFB Line Blitz, hosted by myself and Joe. And we just, you know, chop up college football stuff and, you know, but yeah, for the most part, that's where you can find me at. Or my plays that I post for my premium VIP plays, lowssportspicks.com. That's where you can, those are the main spots you can find me at.
There we go, my guy. Low, I greatly appreciate you. Hopefully next time we get you on video. My guy Joe, what you got real quick?
Yeah, you guys can find me over on Twitter at DeGuruJoe. If you guys have any questions, feel free to DM me. I also run a VIP service. If you're interested, feel free to DM me. I'll be more than happy to get any of the loyal listeners of this show or any show over on Gambling Twitter a helping hand, whether it's for free or on the VIP side. Also, breaking news, we will be bringing a World Cup soccer show with my guy, Philly Bose, Tim. So we will have that up and running. So if you guys are interested in more World Cup coverage, make sure you check out the page and we'll drop more information soon.
Cool. There we go. Fellas, greatly appreciate you coming on the show. We'll definitely get you guys again on the show soon. But to finish up real quick, my final thought, Raiders, McDaniels is not that guy. Davante Adams had 146 receiving yards, 7 receptions, and 2 touchdowns in the first half. And you decided to start running the ball in the second half to see if that worked. You went away from what worked, and it didn't. Every single guy except Crosby is still here from the Mike Mayock era. If a guy like Rich Bisaccia was ever to figure it out with the turmoil and everything that was going on and make the playoffs, and you can't even have a winning record, I'm sorry, McDaniels is that guy. It's not that guy. Don't fire him now, but I think he should be gone at the end of the season. Till next week, I am Jose V for EMB, Quan 59, Jay Madrazos, and our guest. We greatly appreciate you. Straight Bet Sports Live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio. We are out. Peace.